you're trying to find somebody likes it, there are some more places you can do that. Check us out and subscribe on iTunes or on Stitcher. Tell your friends because iPods... Oh, shit, I fucked it up.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
We should have, like, done that in a... Because we knew what we were coming in to do. We knew that we were going to say hi. But Mark said, hey, okay, let's just say hi. We should have, like, done a three-part harmony, you know.
Hi.
Some sort of old-timey radio show.
Barbershop hi, quartet hi. Version mm-hmm. of hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty riveting.
It's a solid move.
What? It's a solid... What? Saying hi like that?
Oh,
or
sure.
Or me suggesting that that's what we should have fucking done.
I think what we do is we do it our own way, and then we spend 10 to 15 minutes deconstructing what we should have done instead of actually doing that.
I mean, that's a solid game plan. However, I just do want to point out that you just now put, you can go your own way in my head. It's going to be there for the rest of the night. Yeah. So if I start humming it.
We're going to be talking about something else a little bit later on, and I imagine it will displace Fleetwood Mac.
I don't know. I think it's just going to be in the back of my head for the rest of the fucking night. But
sold a lot of records.
They did sell a lot of records.
And it could be worse.
But yeah. What's that? The music could be worse?
A song stuck in your head could be worse?
No, I'm not saying it sucks that it's stuck in my head. I was just merely stating a fact that that's what's going on now.
You know, and the interesting thing is that Lindsey Buckingham doesn't read music. So in order for him to come up with the guitar licks on Go Your Own Way, he had to have that song in his head over and over and over again in order to play it.
You're blowing my fucking
mind.
That
is really illuminating, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that with us, Kevin.
That's how music works, kids.
That's what you want to know. That's behind the fucking music.
That's a full episode of Somebody Likes It encased right there in just that exactly. one statement. So.
What, minus the truck nuts. From the cover of Rumors.
Wait, what?
You know what I'm talking about.
You don't remember the truck nuts?
I can't remember that. It sounds vaguely familiar.
The cover of Rumors, it's not Lindsey Buckingham.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
And his, I remember his metal balls.
Yeah. All right, kids, let's play some theme music.
All right, I'm Shane.
Ryan.
Kevin.
And Mark.
This is Somebody Likes It.
You know, I guess there are times when we turn back the clock and, you know, and the thing is, like, most clocks are digital these days, so it's really not that big a deal. But if you take the little hand and you start spinning it, eventually you end up in the 60s. And that's where Ryan lives.
Okay.
What the fuck are you talking
about? I haven't really got a clue. He actually did trigger something that has occurred lately.
His hands halfway through.
At work. There are a couple people at work who are younger folk, millennial types, who can't read regular clocks. They can only read digital clocks.
Wow, really?
I'm not even kidding.
That's fascinating. Well, people can't read fucking cursive anymore and shit, too, but, I mean, I can't read cursive from the 1700s.
I think they're not teaching it in schools.
No, they're not. They're barely even teaching how to write. You don't need to write anymore.
And anyway,
unless you have to sign a check.
So my little opening statement there was obviously, like, kind of a Dada riff, but the reason that I actually started down that silly little path was because we are going to pick up something today that takes us back a little bit. And Ryan, you selected this one, right?
I did.
Do you want, before we talk about this, do you want to talk about, we have some new happenings in the...
Oh, we do. Yeah, for sure. And
we can be found.
Yeah, we can be found. So
new places.
Yeah, so if you are... you can certainly find us on... You can subscribe to Somebody Likes It on iTunes now directly. We certainly recommend that you do that. If iTunes is not the way that you roll, you can also find us on Stitcher. And so download the Stitcher app, and you can dial up Somebody Likes It anytime. And all of our shows are there. So super excited to be to be easily accessed on the two most major platforms directly.
And of course, we are on Facebook and our original platform, oneofus.net, and yep. all the other fucking badass podcasts that are on that. Thanks, Chris and Brian. We should, you know, I'm just thinking we should let people know that they're, you know, there's
they've got more options now.
Yeah, there's new avenues.
That's right. So you should never be without your
somebody
your,
likes it
your,
fix.
Your companion, somebody likes it.
Well, we're like swingers now. You know? We're all over the place.
Oh. All right.
We're like triple dipping.
Yeah, that's true. Quadruple dip. This is it's a foursome, as it were, I think, something like that. You know, what I would like to think and what I would like to hope is that those of you out there listening are kind of, if you do have the ability to listen to Somebody Likes It on different platforms and it's more available to you, then halfway through an episode, you'll have your head in your hands, much like I do, having to deal with these guys.
You have your head in your hands.
My head in my, you know, just shaking your head like, what the, what are we, what the fuck are they talking, you know?
Sure.
But it's good. It's good, right? Because we love each other like brothers, so.
That's true.
All right. So, and I guess.
I just produced the show, actually.
Oh, right. That's true. Yeah. That's, you know, but that's why, and nobody knows this, but the talent, Shane, Ryan, and
Kevin.
And Kevin. By the way, I just referred to myself in the third person, Shane, and I was just shaking my head in disgust at Donald Trump referring to himself in the third person. So, no, anyway, Ryan and me and Kevin are sitting on one side of the table, and we're all facing Mark, who looks like he's like the chairman of the board at the other end.
He kind of is.
Of the table. Yeah. Yeah,
you know, producer man.
I'm not saying he's not. I'm just kind of reminds me of the Hudsucker proxy or something. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know.
You know, for kids.
So, yeah. So I guess I will say before we dive into what we're the subject of tonight's of this podcast, I have thought about this a few times, and then and it just left me until right now. And it is, there is a, do you guys know where there's a little barbecue joint in Austin that's been here forever and ever again. And I don't remember what the name of this particular barbecue joint is.
Stories.
Stay with me. But there's a sign outside that says, you don't need no teeth to eat my beef.
Yeah.
Inside that barbecue restaurant, there is a picture from like, I don't know, it's 1975 if it's a day. And it's clearly a parade shot. And in the back of the open limo, this giant open limo, Burt Reynolds and Dolly Parton. And I was like, that is awesome. That's amazing.
I might have felt compelled to actually steal that picture.
I'm sure that it's got to be bolted down because everybody I have ever talked to about that is
so
like,
what Kevin's alluding to is that we're going to be talking about
Burt Reynolds' record.
Yes, Burt Reynolds' record.
I'll always talk about fucking Burt Reynolds.
Dolly Parton's 1973 release, Jolene. Which is, actually, if you look at the cover of that, man, that is some glorious shit. That is...
it is pretty goddamn glorious.
That is Texas in the 70s. And even though she's not from Texas, but like,
it's,
man...
It's Texas in the 70s.
It is Texas in the 70s. Like
that great, like Easter bonnet yellow color with the...
Yeah, and just like giant...
Giant blonde hair.
Blonde locks.
Yeah.
It is something to behold. I had this friend, Russell, when I was a kid. He's the last person I ever got in a fist fight with, by the way.
See, this is why I do the show. I've known you for 20 years, and...
Last person I ever got in a fist fight
was Russell.
I was 11, and he beat me up, totally. But his dad's name was Buddy, and his mom looked just like this photo on the cover of this record. And I don't remember her name, but it was not Dolly Parton.
It wasn't Buddy or Russell. Mama.
It was Mama.
Mama. Hey, you know, I wanted to point this out before we get into discussion on the actual recording of Jolene. I don't think did we even say it's Jolene?
I said it was Jolene.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, sometimes we'll go on and on and on for like 30 minutes, and then I'll realize like I forgot to say what album we're actually
Dolly Parton's 1973 release, Jolene.
I think it's 74, right around there.
Late 1973.
Okay. Well, the single was released in 73. I'm pretty sure the album was released in 74. But, I mean, we're splitting hairs, right? I did want to state this. Ryan, somehow, you picked the shortest record we've ever talked about on the show And that's including the fucking Ramones. This album is almost 5 minutes shorter than the Ramones album that we did on this show before. It's 24 minutes long, and that's
it's
two sides.
It's not long.
No, it's 24 minutes long.
Well, and let's be frank. Like, she had places to be.
Dude, I went on a walk.
This is a busy woman. Yeah. She has written 3,000 songs.
This was like her...
I'm not
kidding.
This
was her seventh solo album.
Yeah, like her 13th. And she did all that stuff with Porter Wag. Well, we'll get that in a minute. Oh, man, Jesus Christ. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I downloaded it, put in my headphones. I'm going on a 45-minute walk. Halfway through the walk, the album's over. I'm like, what? And I was like, how long is this album?
What's wrong with my Spotify?
There's 10 songs on it. It's 24 minutes long.
So it's like the punk rock country music?
Totally, yes. So I was like, I couldn't believe how...
Did you pogo it to it? Like walking your dogs?
No, I don't think you pogo. Like, I don't know. Can you imagine like country music, like pogo line dancing? Like,
I want to.
I would like
now.
To. It sounds more. It sounds a lot more
more
fun
than actual than country line dancing.
Than achy breaky heart style. Yeah. Anyway, I like this record.
I dig it.
It was great. There's. It doesn't. Okay, so it came out in when the early 70s are turning into late 70s. It doesn't sound like country music at that time out of Nashville. What it sounds like is shit out of California. It sounds like.
It's really poppy.
Well, no, but I'm saying it is poppy, but it sounds like more like the Byrds or like Linda Ronstadt at the time or like fucking Neil Young, with the way the bass and the guitars, and even it's got some of that Bakersfield sound. I mean, like at the time, like in Nashville, there's
like
still
Buck Owens
kind of sound, yeah. Like in Nashville, I mean, this album uses just traditional instruments all the way through, a little bit of strings, but very little. There's some dobro on there. I mean, it really sounds like Laurel Canyon, like Emmylou Harris and Linda Ronstadt, which is interesting. I guess I just thought of this. They all three of them did a record or did some records together in the 80s. But that's it, like, or Janis Joplin, even like some parts of it, like Kris Kristofferson. Like, if you go and listen to that late 60s, early 70s California, like folk rock stuff. Or country rock, you know, that's
I'm not hearing the Janis Joplin so much, but I...
No. I'm not saying the vocal stylings, but I mean, I guarantee you go back and listen to some of that. And it's rock and roll drums. That's another thing on there, too. It's like 60s, late 60s rock drums. That's not country music. Like, nobody was... It's the shit that later became like fucking Willie Nelson, you know, right around the same time. You know, like, it didn't sound... anything like what Nashville was putting out, you know, like He Stopped Loving Her Today,
like,
you know,
Merle Haggard and
Merle Haggard was a little bit of an outlier, but like George Jones or, you know, like mm-hmm. not too lyrically,
I think it does like skew to traditional Nashville.
I think so too, but production wise, it definitely
doesn't. It's super clean production wise.
Well, it's not just the cleanness of it production wise. It's the instrumentation, the fact that there are rock drums on there. Like fucking, I don't know if it's Jolene or the song right after it. I can't remember off the top of my head, but the drums are congas. Nobody was fucking doing that shit in Nashville.
Not a ton of congas in Nashville.
Not a lot of congas in 1973 in Nashville. No. I don't know. Kevin?
Perhaps they were smuggled in. I think that...
across the western border.
Somebody's got congas like
there's like two dudes, like one on each.
They're like, really, I just have elephantitis.
You know what?
Smoky Mountain Underground.
Underground, God, they're digging tunnels.
That's
for
another
congas.
Great shirt idea. I like
Smoky
it.
Smoky Mountain Underground.
Yeah, so one thing that occurred to me... well, first of all, I found this really great NPR article that was titled Dolly Parton's Jolene Still Haunts Singers. And I know what it meant, but I like, I was like, I really kind of hope it's literal. Anyway, so the track Jolene, like the title track itself, I think is worth talking about because for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is it's kind of a mashup of two experiences. One is this 8-year-old red-haired girl who asked Dolly Parton for an autograph when she was kind of coming up and really starting to get popular. And she said, "What's your name?" And the girl said, "Jolene." And she said, "That's a beautiful name. I'm going to write a song about it." And then now that kid, much like
like Wendy of Wendy's.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but well, can you know, imagine? Like, can like you like
60 years
like,
old?
Like My Sharona. It's like she can't go anywhere.
I know, but like, but don't you? Like, but also, don't you want to know? Like, I mean, did that little girl grow up and like find that to be like a self fulfilling prophecy and start like stealing men or something?
Oh, I don't
like,
know. I don't know.
Or that got, like. I listen. I went to high school with one of my best friends in high school. Her name was Jolene, and she literally was named after that song. What a weird song to hear!
I knew a girl named Tennille.
And well, yeah, okay, but that's funny. That's funny as shit too. But what a weird song, considering the content of the song Jolene, to for her mom to hear it and be like, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm gonna name my daughter after that song.
So that's that. The story of the little girl is half the genesis of that song. The other half is that I guess the bank that she and her husband used to go to, there was a redheaded teller who, according to this NPR article, was. Giving her new husband a little more interest than he had coming. So they
sort of the crux of the song, and we should actually play a little bit of the song, and we'll talk more, because there's a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to unpack.
There is. All right.
Because you can. Your beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. Talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. And I can easily understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Jolene, Jolene, Jolene.
So that is the title track, the evidently haunting Jolene. From Little Miss Dolly Parton.
Right.
It's pretty haunting.
Man, and kind of unfailingly polite.
I never thought about that before, but you are right. To the woman
to the woman who's trying to take her dude.
Yeah.
And he like calls her out in bed and stuff. And she's like, you just please don't.
Just please don't take my man.
It'd be really nice if you didn't take my man. And like, you're so beautiful. Can I just tell you, describe the ways in which you are so beautiful?
There was a lot of daylight between that song and You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette.
Oh, no.
Dealing with very similar things.
Like Dolly Parton, this character that Dolly Parton is portraying in this song would never be on Maury Povich or, you know, Jerry Springer. Like, just, no. She'd just be like, you're so beautiful, honey. Just don't take him.
That's a pretty song. That, you know, one thing.
It's gorgeous.
There are congas on that song. It's just,
you pointed out, no snare.
Yeah, there's like hi-hat and congas. But, you know, it's an interesting thing, again, like I'm saying before, like I feel like the album sounds more like what was going on in the late 60s. Like, you know, the shit that fucking like Dennis Hopper with the fringe jacket and Easy Rider was listening to than country music, what was coming out of fucking Nashville. And one of there's a couple of times in this record where they use strings in an interesting way. Like Nashville had those big, full string sections. That song has a string section, but it's a quartet, not the huge like orchestras they use. And they're like later in this album, there's a time where they just use like a solo cello and there's no other strings. I mean, that's really fucking, that's weird.
Shane was like sawing his arm with the cello.
I'm doing like, that's how you play cello with your left hand.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Okay.
Well, no, it illustrated it great.
That's why I showed you, so you would understand. Like, yeah. I know that I can't use my words as well as I like to, but good fucking song.
I know, it's brilliant. Like, and it follows the rubric of like you put the best song first on the record.
Well, and this is another one of those. This is one song in particular on this record that has been covered a ton. And I also read a little bit of commentary by, sometimes I think Jack White is a little much, but
you're here.
But he,
I think he's full of himself. But I think when he nails it, he really nails
it. Well, and he did a cover of this song where he essentially, like, by singing it as from the male perspective, it was like he was singing it to his girlfriend who was cheating on him with his best friend or something like that. And I was like, oh, you could actually kind of do that and not actually change any of the lyrical content, like just change the voice and change a little bit of the approach. So anyway, stuff like that I think is pretty interesting. And anyway, Jolene seems to be one of these songs that not only is it the name and the namesake of the record, but seems to be one that people really gravitate to in particular.
Well, dude, that fucking hook is crazy. Number one, it's weird. Like the Jolene, 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 Jolene. Like it's just it immediately grabs you.
The woman can write a melody.
Like, the woman is amazing fucking songwriter. That's another thing I was going to say. Like all the bands I was saying earlier, like I would way rather listen to this album. These songs are better for the most part. There's a couple on there I didn't really care for. Man, she can fuck it. She could fucking write.
Is it interesting to you guys at all that I mean, really, in a way, she kind of came from the Nashville establishment. Like, you know, she got her break from being part of an ensemble that played Grand Ole Opry a whole bunch.
Yeah, Porter Wagoner.
Yeah, and so she spun that into her own, you know, her own empire that didn't always play by those rules.
It was the right time for that. I mean, if you look at like her male counterpart, I mean, I kind of alluded to this before, but I'll definitely stand by it. I mean, is Willie Nelson, who like bucked the system, did something completely different, and was talented enough that it completely paid off at the end of the day. And there's a song. In fact, it's funny. The song on here that's the most country sounding song. Well, it's not funny. I mean, it's not like hilarious or anything. I don't even know why I said that. The Living on Memories of You is the one song on this album that really sounds like a country song. It's got like that. It's got like that walking bass and stuff, and it's got a harmonica on it, just like a Willie Nelson. It sounds so much like a Willie Nelson song. And also, he's an incredible fucking songwriter too. I see a lot of parallels personally. There's less weed probably in Dolly Parton's world, but I mean, I
guarantee you, there's less weed.
Maybe she does smoke a lot of weed, and we just don't know about it because Willie Nelson definitely puts it out there, but.
It's funny, like, going back and listening to her stuff now, it just reminds me of, like, when I was in, like, fifth grade. Like, all anybody talked about...
Were her boobs. Yes. Well, and that's something that...
It was like, hey, have you seen Dolly Parton's shoes? No, neither has she. Ha, ha, ha.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah. You know, that's something that I don't know enough about, and maybe one of these days we should do another Dolly Parton record. Something
her boobs?
You don't know enough about boobs?
No. Yeah. You didn't even let me continue down the line of what I was talking about.
Keep going.
Thank you, Kevin. See, Kevin, you hear that?
He's got your back.
He understands you. That's the adult in the room right there.
And then he stops.
She, you know, not too long after this album came out, she became Dolly Parton with a capital D and capital P, like doing like, you know, schlock. Like
trademark.
Schlock, like 9 to 5 and... well,
I liked that.
I was gonna say I was already backing up. I'm saying like she went from doing songs like this to doing like Islands in the Stream with Kenny Rogers, and doing like Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Like she had that persona, that goofy ditzy blonde with the big tits persona. That just what was the one she did a movie with Sylvester Stallone? Where, like
oh, I know what you're talking about. You know, I can't remember what it's called
like
right
late,
now. But,
the
yeah.
late 80s, the late 70s,
like the feathery hair.
Yeah, to late 70s to mid 80s version of Dolly Parton has nothing to do with what we're listening to on this record. It might as well be two different people.
Was it Rambo?
It was not Rambo that she was in with Sylvester Stallone.
See, now that... Rhinestone.
Rhinestone.
Rhinestone. Yeah.
You see, like, that's... she just became a caricature. You know, the big boob, ditzy blonde caricature.
Well, these days, I just kind of think of her... Whoa, those... Yep.
Mark's pulling up photos behind us on a monitor here.
No, but now she's like America's sweetheart. Like, you know, she just seems like the nicest lady.
I think she always did, and I think people liked her. And I don't think people hated her back then. It's just you can't be in movies with Sylvester Stallone. You can't just do that and expect people to take you seriously, especially as a songwriter and musician.
She has always, I feel like she's always had the ability to like transcend sex appeal in a certain way. And like her persona is sweet enough that it's like, even if the other thing, like during her prime, you know, obviously she's up there in age these days, so maybe it's not as much of a thing, but she never, I don't feel like she ever solely traded on that. And it's a path that she could have gone down that just doesn't seem like
she could have easily gone down. I mean, the
woman,
not
her personality.
She was a gorgeous. I mean, like all the jokes about how you know, how large her bust was. She is a beautiful woman. I mean, she easily could have capitalized on that in a shitty asshole Kim Kardashian esque way. You know.
Well, the other thing is that like I think she's got a sense of humor, and it's right. Like, so,
and she's obviously brilliant. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can't write songs like this with such insightful lyrical content without having some brains in your head.
Should we spin another one?
Yeah, let's spin another one. I was thinking when someone wants to leave, which to me at right, least
I gotta go.
Well, yeah.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah,
thank
sure. Kevin wants to leave.
Kevin's back and forth this week.
Sure.
But I do appreciate the lyrical content, and I think, you know, at least it harkens to a more countrified.
This is a sad era. Ass. Let's just say it. It's a sad fucking.
No,
song.
Like yeah, I mean, and like we've probably all been in these situations at some point.
Well, why don't we listen to it and come back and talk about it?
All right.
When you love somebody with all your heart and soul, and you want to keep them with you, but you know they want to go. What do you do? What do you say when you know they want to leave as bad as you want them to stay? And there's nothing quite as sad as a one-sided love when one doesn't care at all and the other cares too much. It's a sad situation, I must say, when someone wants to leave as bad as you want them to stay.
Was that song? That felt like it went on forever. Like that had to be like a solid 205.
Oh yeah,
I think that's exactly how long it was.
But I mean, but juxtaposition, like we're talking about going into that track, like what an upbeat number about something awful.
It's an upbeat song that's heartbreaking.
I
somehow.
Think it's fucking sad as fuck, man. But
no,
you know,
like it's nothing quite like a like what is it? Nothing like quite like a one-sided love. Yeah. And just, you know, like being so very much in love with somebody who just is ready to
ready
walk
to
out the door.
You could do-si-do to that.
You could.
You could do-si-do yeah. to that. There's probably a dobro could. In it. You don't, there's, you know.
Dobro.
Dobro. What did you say?
Define dobro again. It's like a steel guitar.
It's an acoustic guitar that
has raised strings.
It's raised. The raised thick strings. So they're raised off of the fretboard and you have like a little.
And you play it on your lap, though, right?
Well, no. Usually, it's you won't get the same resonance. Like if you have it in your lap, it'll kind of muffle from the you know from the acoustic part. So people usually have it on a strap, and it's turned to where it's like this.
And it's a Shane's a metal gesturing. Body.
I'm showing them, but it's better for me to explain to you.
Is it always a metal body, or is it just
no? It's not usually a metal body,
but it has a metal pan, right? It has a resonator in it.
It can have a resonator in it, but I've seen them with and without, definitely.
Okay. But man, just heartbreaking, like that song all the way through, like, and it's a perfect pop country song.
It's such a good song. It was so good. I was listening to it. And I was like, man, I know she's written a lot of good songs, but I mean, she, and that's another thing about the way she writes songs, especially on this record. She gets in there, tells a story, and gets out.
Gets the fuck out.
There's not a lot of fat to cut out. There's, you know, like she tells the story. You get exactly that. It's not missing anything at all. Like it.
You've even got a. She's even left room in there for a good Eight measures of solo.
Solo, yeah. You know, I do want to say something.
You're not wrong.
For an album that's so short, there are almost literally one musician for every minute on this album that plays on this album.
How many musicians are there?
There are 18 plus a chorus. So there's 24 minutes. So just including the 18 musicians, that's almost the whole record right there. And then there's a choral group.
It all worked out.
No, it sounds great. I just think it's such a short record, and there's so many people that play on it. And I think basically it was just a different makeup of people for like a bunch of different songs.
So there have been multiple occasions where one or more of you have brought up the fact that if this album were just, 15 minutes shorter, it would have been the perfect album. So
it's true.
Does the inverse apply here? Could you have made this album better by making it longer, or do you think it's the perfect length?
You certainly could make it longer.
I think you could put a few more of good songs on it, but I mean, it feels like a wrapped up package
with a whole record.
Yeah, like it feels like it.
It's not an EP.
No, that's what I was gonna say. It doesn't feel like it's incomplete for sure. Like it feels like partially that's because I think even though the songs are so short. Like I said before, like she gets in, she does the job, and she gets out. Like you feel like,
she's the country music Ramones.
Well, I do also think that this came during a point in her canon where she was turning out lots of material, and so she was just she wrote.
I wasn't kidding when I said earlier that she's written 3,000 songs.
Oh yeah,
like I don't know how she has the time, between that and. Running an amusement park
and being the most successful country female artist of all time.
Yeah, and acting in movies with Sylvester Stallone. I will say this: I was kind of apropos of nothing, but I was listening to this record, and I went up to my local Dollar General, and there was a country music song, but it was modern country music, and this guy was singing about like his girl, how she likes to drink tequila.
That sounds like modern country music.
Yeah, and I was like, this song fucking blows.
you come in with so many stories
anecdotal stuff that happens in my life.
At the Dollar General.
He did
is what
disclaimer. He put out the disclaimer there. It was apropos. Why
can you possibly buy at the Dollar General that's worth going there?
Beef jerky?
Sometimes.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, I think I got some Big Red and some...
Is there one that's like really close to your house rather than like a normal grocery store? Okay.
We don't have to do your shopping list, Ryan.
All right. Intermission time?
Yeah, who's got metal?
Kevin does. So let's get into this.
Okay. Hey everybody, let's take a couple of minutes and talk about something other than Dear Dolly.
Miss Pardon.
I thought you were gonna say let's take a couple of minutes and pray. Like that's the first thing that comes to mind when somebody says.
Right. A couple minutes, Shane, and kneel to the Lord.
You are free associating in a direction I was not taking this segment. So for our few minutes with segment. I thought that we would spend a moment with a defunct Canadian band called
Tragically.
We've already done the Tragically. I'm just working my way through Canada.
Is that guy dead yet?
Ryan! Jesus Christ!
Well,
man.
No, I think he was about.
No! It's a reasonable question to ask. It's just the glee with which you asked this. Is that guy dead yet?
No, it wasn't glee, but like we haven't addressed
it. I look
yet.
Over at you and your fucking Cheshire cat.
There's no pool here. That's not where we're going.
All right. What do you got for us?
This is a track by a band called The Weaker Thans, which is, by my estimation, like maybe the most Canadian. Like if they just called themselves Back Bacon exclamation point, maybe that would be more.
Nice. I think like that's the Broadway show or whatever the equivalent is in Canada.
Back Bacon with a right. Exclamation
Back
point.
Bacon A. Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah, we're going to listen to their track, Sun in an Empty Room. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, so if you dial up the video for Sun in an Empty Room, it really kind of it plays almost literally, well, frankly, plays literally like just a little bit of a documentary wrapped around the track itself about, yeah, you know, Mark made the comment while we were watching the video that it just seems like, oh, all of these people are losing their jobs. Anyway, it's a very, like, one of the reasons that I picked this track was that this band, and there are, like, hallmarks of the year that it came out. Like, they're definitely, like Shane mentioned some of the, when we were listening, some of the touches from some of the other bands who were really prominent in 2009. That's certainly true. But one of the things I got a kick out of is, like, when these guys disbanded, they just put up on social media that the band hadn't broken up, but it was cryogenically frozen. So
it was,
like,
weaker than what it was before.
Is yes, specifically.
And by the way, there. Yeah, thank you. By the way, there is both a prologue and an epitaph in that video. And they
thank
are,
you for thanks. Yes. Thanks. Yeah, the band is on Epitaph. Hey, can I say something? That, you know, I all things considered, I thought that was a pretty decent song.
Good song.
It was a good song. If that song had been released in 1997, however, fucking hit.
Would it, like, take it
killed
over the
it.
World?
It sounded like, it really sounded like...
Death Cab for Cutie meets, well, Granddaddy meets, no, what was the other
Ben
one?
Folds.
Ben yeah. Folds.
But I'm yeah. saying, like, it, like the style of music, the almost safeness of the music, too, at the same time. It was a solid song. It was good. It,
no,
like,
but you're right.
I would
it's
definitely turn
safe.
It over. But, I mean, I'm not...
Say safeness?
Yeah, it was very...
Is that the Canadians, them coming out?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, it was a little bit cleaner in the 90s. But I'm saying, if that song come out, I guess the album was released in 2007. Had that album been released 10 years before, like around the time is, you know, there's... I was thinking, what was that? You Got a Reason to Live, Don't... You know, like, songs like that. Like, there's just something in that sound that sounds like late 90s to me. Not in a bad way. But it would have been huge 10 years before if they had recorded it. Like,
no,
fortunately, they can't go back in a time machine. And
it probably was huge in Canada. Like, they
no, I'm saying
they
it,
make radio
I'm not
play
down
Canadian
goddamn
Canadian
song.
Music.
The song is good. What I'm saying is, if it had come out in 1997, it would have been a fucking huge modern rock hit. That's it. I'm not saying it's a bad song or it was not huge somewhere later. Had it come out around the time of, like, Sonny Came Home or, like, fucking Paranoid Android, it would have been enormous.
Those are two wildly disparate
songs.
Well,
those are hit
songs
from 1997, dude. So, you know.
Anyway.
I'm just doing what if it had come out at the same time as Where Have All the Cowboys Gone, like, that would have.
Yes, it's just like it would, that. And Paranoid
or
Android.
You know what? Well, to posit something that's even, you know, a little more relevant, if it had come out the same year as It's Been 1 Week Since You Looked at Me by Bare Naked Lady, or however the song is called.
Dun-dun-dun, whatever that, yeah.
1 week since
where
you looked
like
at me.
Where he, like, kind of raps
yes,
in a Canadian
does.
Way.
Yes, he does a very yeah. poor job of rapping, but there's a lot of words said very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah, had this song come out that year, there wouldn't have been one Canadian band on the U.S. charts.
It would have put to shame.
That was a few years before. Yeah. But, yeah. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I guess, and I'm sure this would be sacrilege among the many, many millions of Canadians that we have already established on the show that are big, tragically hip nuts. But if I had to choose Canada's national band, I would choose The Weaker Thans before I would choose... Tragic.
I'm with you on that.
They haven't asked. They've not asked.
That is, like, that song was more of a pleasant listen for sure than.
And that record's
the
pretty
hip.
Good. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that was the little nugget I wanted to share with you guys. A little bit of North of the Border love, as it were.
All right. Well, let's go
appreciate
back to
it,
the.
Eh?
Jesus Christ! You know, like, I feel like I should somehow just stick up for Canadians with all the shitty, bad Canadian jokes that come out of the two of your mouths.
Well, okay.
Right. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's not a. Can we go back, Mark, please? I do want to just point something out. Earlier, I was talking shit about the period of time where Dolly Parton did a did the Islands in the Stream duet with
That Is What We Are,
Kenny Rogers. I'm actually a huge fan of that song. Yes, that one. I love that song. If it comes, you know how much I love Easy Listening.
Yeah, like that's not quite AM Gold. It's like
no
80s soft rock.
Yeah, but it's still got Kenny Rogers in it, and Kenny Rogers in the late 70s through the early 80s, he got me for the most part.
That dude is
Coward
involved.
Of the County.
He was in like a band that had nothing to do with country music in the 60s.
No, what was it called? It was the band that did like Just Dropped In to See What Condition My Condition Was In. That was their big hit.
Oh yeah.
Mark, we might have to put you to work on that. But yeah, like that guy has evolved a lot.
Yeah, and then, now
and
he
then, and then frying chickens.
No, that was a brief endeavor. Yeah, that made it onto Wikipedia. But he also has the weirdest looking like eye work done. Like if it,
oh no, he's had really bad work done.
He looks so bizarre.
He looks constantly surprised. Like,
<it's> like well, his eyes are like all sunk down in his heads. His eyes are all sunk down in his head.
Well, he might as well have multiple heads from what he looks like.
Okay.
Now.
Well, he might as well just have multiple heads.
The first edition.
That was it?
Was
the
that
first
it?
Edition?
Yeah. Yeah, they had a couple hits, and then he just like completely reinvented himself, and then later
well,
on...
Well, it says started... right there that it's the first edition. What did you want? Like, the man is telling you.
Well, he had a
this
second
the
edition.
First yeah, he had yeah. a second
edition. Second edition
he had a second
Coward
edition
of the County
was,
and
was
The Gambler.
Wildly
and...
popular. The Gambler. Yeah. They, and then The Gambler like had like all these like fucking TV movies in the 80s and shit. Like, I don't know, whatever. Dolly Parton sang on Islands
what
in the
Stream.
What was
that movie, Six Pack or something? That a bunch of little kids and him or like...
Kenny
drive
Rogers?
Around a car.
It sounds about right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, we're talking about Dolly Parton.
We can talk about whoever the fuck we want to. You know why? Because
she
it's
was,
our goddamn show.
She was in a movie with Burt Reynolds.
Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. And I actually genuinely think it's a good movie.
I bet that that's where movie. I bet that's where that it was some associated event that they got that photo taken in. Like we need to find that. I mean,
no,
doesn't
no,
translate
no, no.
to a podcast, but after the show's over.
Oh,
we
the
need
one
pull
with
that.
The parade? Yeah, probably.
Oh, man, it's so great. It's so great.
Wasn't there was some Christmas song in that movie that was pretty good. Hard Candy.
I also appreciate, as long as we're talking about Dolly, like I really appreciate that that she literally put out a record called My Favorite Songwriter, Porter Wagoner. Like, you know, you can't get any more straightforward
direct
than that.
Or
yeah.
humble.
No. Yeah.
I mean, this woman is that's such a...
Well, she'd already made her own bones by that point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot to say about Dolly Parton in the plus column. Hey, can you stop there, Mark, just for a second? Go back up.
Mark is scrolling.
So Mark
through.
Is scrolling. Stop right there. Mark is scrolling. That's what I'm talking about. So Mark is scrolling through all of these pictures of Dolly Parton
and
Burt Reynolds.
And there's just some guy who's like a LARPer.
He looks like he belongs at like a Ren Fair. In the middle of all these Dolly Parton pictures, there's like a...
Just some random dude who... Like,
there's just this
who does
random,
role-playing games.
Random role-playing like, games guy.
That's like the Google version of like whatever it is, like the orange M&M writer in the Van Halen contract. They just put like one picture in here that has no business being
the
in the...
Fuck?
No bearing on the rest of it at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, can you just go... Can I just see that guy one more time? Because
I think Cher shows up a little bit later too. But,
what?
Yeah.
Why is he there?
I don't know.
It's under top 10 Dolly Parton songs. All right. So anyway,
Shane, did I tell you that I'm going to open my own amusement park, Rhinewood?
No, yeah. You did not.
Yeah, I'm going to have a like a wood flue thing, like a log ride.
I think that did you have you heard of this before?
Heard of what?
Dollywood.
Oh, is that a thing?
It is a thing.
Is that still a thing? Like,
I'm pretty sure it is.
Is it the dog patch of where
dude,
it
in
is,
that
it
part,
is?
Would Dolly Parton really create an amusement park?
Yeah.
Dollywood.
Yeah. Dollywood.
No, oh, yeah. That's a whole deal, dude.
That's a real deal.
Do you really not know about that? Like, yeah.
Like, Marcus brushes
would,
his off.
Would
like,
Dolly do that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dollywood.
All right. Oh, okay.
It's a dad joke.
All right. All right.
Hello, Dolly.
All right. Everybody's back in fine form tonight. Rating like all, we've all, like, worked off the Christmas turkey.
So we had the Christmas turkey, yes.
I don't know.
I do not either. At some point, we do have to address the other giant song from this, which actually probably
is the most giant song from this.
It's the most giant song from this, but I would wager more people know it from Whitney Houston than know it from.
Oh, without a doubt.
Oh, is this one of the answers, somebody?
I will always love you. Yeah. I had no idea that this song, and I will always love you. What the
it's
fuck
I
is
will
wrong?
Always love you. It's not. And
are you
I will
making other dad
they're,
jokes that I'm not?
They're not
at
ellipses
this point?
Like leading up to it. It's just
I will always love you. Right. Sorry. Thank you. I guess I'm thinking of the period of time where there are a lot of.
It's actually a really like sweet moment in the film where she's the madam of the whorehouse. And the local
is this
sheriff
in that movie is this song
oh, yeah.
in that movie?
She sings it to Burt Reynolds in
because
the movie.
Because what I thought you were going to say was there's a really sweet moment in that film where Kevin Costner's carrying her through all her adoring
fans. I don't
care
about that. Yeah,
no, but I thought that's where you were going with that.
No, like I'm talking about Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, which to me is a better movie than The Bodyguard.
Dude, almost any movie
and
is a
better
movie
than
the
Bodyguard.
If my fucking cat made a movie tonight, like
Caddyshack 2, better than Bodyguard?
Caddyshack, C-A-T-T-Y?
Caddyshack 2.
No, but if my cat made a movie called Caddyshack by accidentally stepping on an iPhone,
yeah.
Caddyshack, right, that would be better than
thank
the Bodyguard.
Thank you for that,
Shane. Yeah, well, thank you just, you know, you could put some ammunition in the gun. Yes, that movie was better than the fucking Bodyguard. But you know what else was better? Dolly Parton's version of
this song,
right? Because you have two different kinds of you have two different versions of this song. You have the Dolly Parton version, which is it's so heartbreaking, and I'm not making this up, and I'm showing my weakness here. Like I teared up, like I was like crying. I hadn't heard it in so long. It's so heartbreakingly sweet. It's and then you have the Whitney Houston version, which is like a fucking declaration of love.
Well, it's showing off her like vocal gymnastics.
No, it completely changes what the song is about. It does show off her vocal gymnastics, but it totally changes because what we're used to hearing is where the drums go boom and you know like it's just like this like declaration of love rather than like a sad woman that is putting her bags in her car driving away thinking. I will always.
Well,
love
well this song was written about or to Porter Wagner.
Porter Wagner, right?
Yes.
Right.
It was more about the professional relationship.
Right.
That they
on the
had.
But that's on the back part of the song. I'm just saying, like, to the listener,
her version is sort of sweet and mournful.
It's not sort of sweet and mournful. It is incredibly mournful, and the Whitney Houston version is just like. Cannot be more like I'm gonna shout how much I love you from the rooftops. You know, that's what people get
why
out of
don't,
that.
Why don't we get into Little Miss Dolly's version of it, and then we'll come out and expound.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. I'll think of you each step of the way, and I will always love you. I will always love you.
I think it's the first time that we've ever had to pass a box of Kleenex around the table.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I'm glad that I was able to open up in front of you guys.
Well, for that reason, you know, good line.
Yeah. Whoa, little TMI. No, so, no, the thing that struck me during the middle of that song was that it has a slow jam in it. Like,
no one's got a breakdown.
It has the breakdown element that became famous.
I was gonna say like, love. It's like love me tender. Tender. Like, darling, you know.
You're just like enveloped in this like beautiful song, and then it's just like, hey, darling. I just want to start talking right now for no good reason.
Like, Love Me Tender is an incredibly beautiful song, also, and I'm listening to that song, and I'm so in it, and I'm crying, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, darling, I'll go, no. I mean, I could get past it. I could get past it because it's such a sad, beautiful song, and it doesn't take that long. But, like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? Like, why do you keep throwing in, like, just rap sections?
Your little soliloquy in the middle of this otherwise perfectly great song.
I knew from the day we met we were going to be together forever. And then you left, and then we weren't together. And then I don't give a fuck. Like, sing the goddamn song. Like,
you
nobody
get the
cares.
Feel that she's, like, throwing her hands up in the studio like the guy just walks in and grabs a microphone.
However,
I think we called it the broken bridge.
Like, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I will say this, as opposed to Elvis doing it and other people doing it, she sounds like her heart is genuinely broken, so it's more effective.
She just has that quality. Like, you just want to believe whatever comes out of her head. Like, she just seems like a sweet person, and, like, I don't want to believe that Dolly Parton's not telling me something that's not true, so, like, sure.
Well, but, right. I mean, there is that. But, again, to go back to, like, how good her fucking songs are, she sells. That's partially why they're just great songs, but she sells them so succinctly and so sincerely that you're just along for the ride. Like, even
and
if,
that's what
even three, if the schmaltz
3 minutes
in,
and 15 seconds, which is like the second longest song on the
it
record.
Is the second longest song on the record. Yeah,
yeah. There's more. You could trim a little fat on that one. Not a lot of the other ones.
You could trim the fat of her, like, darling,
hey,
I knew
darling,
we were always like, meant to be together.
Yeah, we if you and I will
always,
end up,
and
I
will always
miss you. You know that I'm going to be missing you. I don't know why
like
she sounds like Barry White
now. It just sounds like an answering machine message. Like, just somebody just like,
hey, you guys
pass.
Remember that shit? Like, it we may have talked about this before, but it was like a big thing in like the early 80s. Like, where you could buy like outgoing answering machine tapes, like they'd have
like, hi, we're not home.
No. It's like, I'm glad you called, but I'm not home. So leave your answer on the phone. You gotta wait for me. You gotta leave your name. You gotta leave your number. And that was one of. And so there are all these pre-recorded like funny songs. That's the only
totally
one I remember.
Remember that.
I'm glad you called, but I'm not home.
Yeah, I invested my life savings in that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Is that what happened? Is that what happened? You lost it all. Well, yeah. I mean, considering at the time you were probably like 8 or 9 years old,
well,
so you didn't have much of life
like
savings.
$30 at the time. But
yeah, right. So I'm saying you didn't have much.
I would like to point out.
You took a gamble.
I'd like to point out that at this point, this podcast is like twice as long as this album. Like, we could have literally spoken every word on the album in real time. And then still have lots of.
We're still 3 minutes over.
Oh, yeah.
If we doubled it. So if we doubled the podcast, we're at 51 minutes. If we doubled the podcast.
I think we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
She should have tweeted.
No, we already got there. We got there like 4 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
48
Math.
Minutes.
Math.
I think she should have toured with the Minutemen.
Would
have been a great bill.
And at that, can we. Let's go. We said enough.
All right. Who's got a current affair?
I do. We're going to do some temples this week. Temple certainty. We'll be right back.
acid in my drink.
You know, it's funny.
I really like that track, by the way, Shane.
No, it's a good song, right? But I couldn't take my eyes off the video.
Yeah. So I don't. I was asking you guys about this. So the band was Temples, the song Certainty. So they put out a record a couple of years ago. I saw them live. I love the record. If I were to play you a few songs, you would. It was all over like commercials, and it was this really like ringing, psychedelic, chiming '60s kind of stuff. You know, like Zombies. Well, not really Zombies, but like the Beatles for sure, and stuff like that. Great band.
Like Birds, maybe?
Yeah, like some of that kind of stuff, but a little more psychedelic than that. But then now they traded in that kind of psychedelia.
Strawberry Alarm Clock?
Probably, yes. They traded in that psychedelia for Tame Impala psychedelia. So,
I can deal with that.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, the song is fucking...
That's what... Tame Impala. Yeah. It was like, that's what it really... Like, that's yeah. what the thread that
but
I was grabbing for.
But it's like, when I first listened to that band, and like I said, I've seen them live, and they were fucking great live. And super, super nice guys. But I remember thinking, like, this stuff is good, but they're gonna get better. The album was recorded, like, in a week, and the song... They were really, really young. And yeah, they did. They got better. But Tame Impala is often put in a different, like a more modern psychedelic, you know, like, so, you know, it's said that there's, you know, psychedelia. And definitely in the videos we've watched. So.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend who, like, is like, they're like the Australian Beatles.
No, but and they're a great influential. They're incredibly influential right now, and they're a great band.
I completely agree. And I think the Australian qualifier, like, actually kind of makes that make more sense.
I was going to say kind of makes it a moot point. Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, that's Temples.
That was a great track.
I was gonna,
solid.
I heard, it was between that and then today I heard, I'm pretty sure it was a 21 Pilots song. Which I think that's all I have to say. There's kind of a shitty rap rock thing going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, they're not my cup of tea.
They're not your cup of tea. They're not. I mean, unless you like.
I have a friend who likes them a lot, but
sure. Does he wear his? Does he wear his baseball cap backward?
No, it's a chick, and
does she wear her baseball cap backward?
She literally has a Goo Goo Dolls lyric tattooed on her.
All right. Well, see,
I know a 10-year-old that's a huge fan of 21 Pilots.
You know a 10-year-old. Is he your son?
Yes, he is.
I was going to say, right. Is he related to you?
Yeah. You're allowed when you're 10.
Yeah, you are allowed. You know what, man? When I was 11 years old, I bought and loved and wore out because I loved it so much, Tell It to My Heart by Taylor Dayne. So, yeah, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were exposing some shit right now.
Yep. Oh, well, you know what, Taylor? At some point, that's going
to
pop up.
You know what? I still know it to my heart.
Yeah. You know who also loves Taylor Dayne? Or I don't love her now.
What happened to your arm right there, Ryan? He's got taken over by the music.
That's right.
Ryan's doing his dance with his left arm. Okay, anyway. Temple, Certainty. Great fucking song.
That is a fantastic song. And like a trippy ass video.
Weird fucking video. Yeah.
It's super trippy.
All right. Next week, Kevin, what do you got?
So next week we're going to... take a trip back all the way back to 2016. So
remember it well.
Yes, remember it well. We're going to listen to an album called Cardinal by a band called Pine Grove.
I'm interested to talk about that record with you.
Yeah, right. Don't know anything about anything that just came out of your head.
Anyway, yeah, that's next week.
All right, kids, let's get out.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Till next week, I'm Kevin.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Mark.
This is Somebody Likes Us.
Shit.
Jolene.